Welcome to Not Your Parents' Financial Advisor, the go-to financial education podcast for affluent millennials. Join your host, certified financial planner professional and millennial Alex LaRosa, as he breaks down expert financial planning tips for the younger generation.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of Not Your Parents' Financial Advisor. I'm your host, Alex LaRosa, and today we have a special episode. It is the end of the year episode. We're going to be talking all things end of the year planning, getting ready for the new year coming up, 2025, things you need to do before the calendar year ends, things that you can do to set yourself up better for next year. All sorts of fun stuff. We're also going to start with a tax planning tip of the week, like I've done for the last few episodes. And this week, the tax planning tip is going to be around tax loss harvesting, which is, you know, another part of some end of the year planning, so it fits right in. So what is tax loss harvesting? And I've done a few videos on this in the past. I've written blogs on it. I'm sure you're familiar with what it is, but the basics of it is we're talking about brokerage or taxable accounts. So this cannot and really shouldn't be done within IRAs or 401ks, just taxable brokerage accounts. It is the art of taking or realizing losses to offset gains, to reduce income, and to possibly carry some losses forward in the future if need be. Now, tax loss harvesting, at least for me and my clients, is not really a big thing this year because the last 2 years, the market's been up 20%+. There's not a whole lot of losses out there to take, so there's not really a whole lot in there. Last time we really did or had the opportunity to do a lot of tax loss harvesting was at the end of 2022 when the market was down 20%. So if you, just to kind of rewind here, remember, when it comes to capital gains, there's unrealized and realized losses. So your unrealized gains or losses are things that you have not sold yet. So you bought something, it's either gone up or it's gone down. You have what's called an unrealized gain or loss within that. When you sell that investment, it now becomes a realized gain or loss. Now, the tax treatment of it typically goes by how long you've held it. If you held it for 1 year or more, it's taxed as a long-term capital gain or long-term capital loss. The long-term capital gain is taxed at usually 15% of your, 50% tax rate, unless you're over $1 million in income, in which case it's 20% federal. Now, if it's less than a year, it's a short-term gain or loss, meaning it's now subject to your income tax rate for taxation. So to walk you through a scenario of how you would do something like tax loss harvesting is, say you buy an investment for $10,000. Comes down to the end of the year, you're looking at it, it's lost 20%, so it's worth $8,000. It has a $2,000 unrealized loss attached to it. However, some of the other investments that you've picked throughout the year have gone up, and you've actually sold some of them. You realized a $1,000 gain in your other investments. So at the end of the year, rather than carrying forward that loss into the new year, you can do a little tax loss harvesting where, because you realize that $1,000 of gain that's going to be subject to income tax, you can sell the investment that has a loss attached to it for that $2,000 loss. That $2,000 is now going to offset that $1,000 gain and then some. So you'll actually be able to offset that $1,000 gain and apply the additional $1,000 loss against your income when you go to file taxes for this year. So it's a nice way to kind of reduce your taxes and avoid the capital gains tax on, an investment that you sold for a gain. Now, the real way to do it, and the, so you don't miss out because, what if the investment comes back? What if it, rebounds and you miss out on it? What you should do is when you do proper tax loss harvesting, when you sell that unrealized loss and make it a realized loss, you should reinvest those proceeds into a similar investment, not a same one. You can't do a same one within 30 days or it's considered a wash sale, but invest it into a similar investment that, if it's it's an S&P 500 index fund, maybe you buy, an extended market fund or something different. That way, your money's still invested. If there is a rebound, you realize that rebound, you're able to make the money on it, but you also are being tax efficient. So that's a very low level example. We do it on a much higher level when, you know, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars in gains and losses sometimes on these multi-million dollar accounts. But tax loss harvesting is something that you should look to do every year if available to you. Like I said, it's if you do it the right way, it can add a little alpha to your portfolio from a tax perspective. So that's the tax planning tip of the week, is tax loss harvesting. So now let's get into some of the end of the year stuff or end of the year planning. And first, what I want to talk about is specifically things that have a deadline on December 31st. And, you know, there's some things that have a deadline when it comes to tax time, when it comes to planning for this year. And there's some things that have a deadline of actual, you know, December 31st. So one is employer-sponsored plans. So 401ks, 403bs, 457s, all that. Anything that goes into that needs to be, you know, for this year, needs to be in before December 31st. So if you haven't maxed out yet and that was something you intended on doing, log in, look, see how much more you have to increase your contribution for the final paycheck of the year. You have until December 31st to do that. Roth conversions is another one. So any Roth conversion you wish to do when you're converting traditional IRA money to Roth IRA money to count for this year, it needs to be done. Charitable giving, that's another one, right? So any charitable giving that you wish to apply to your income for this year, it needs to be done and documented by December 31st. HSA contributions, that's another one. So health savings account, talked about that, you know, extensively in the past, but any contributions to that need to be made and in the account before the end of the year for it to count for this year. Tax loss harvesting, we just talked about that. That's all goes by the calendar, not the tax calendar, but the actual calendar. And then 529 accounts as well. So any 529 contributions you wanna make that you wanna apply to your state income taxes for this year needs to be in by December 31st. Some of the things that can wait beyond, right, are things like IRA contributions. So if you're going to make a backdoor Roth, or you're going to do just a traditional or a Roth IRA contribution, you have actually until tax time, so April 15th of next year, to do it for this year. So you could essentially, you know, and I'm actually doing this with one of my clients whose adjusted gross income is gonna be pretty close to the, you know, the limit for a Roth IRA contribution. So what we're doing is we're just gonna wait until he files for taxes. We're going to find out what his actual adjusted gross income is. And if it's above the limit, we're going to go ahead and do a backdoor for him for this year and for next year all in one. So we're going to do $14,000 right there. Or if it's under, we're going to do a Roth IRA contribution. Again, $14,000 right there. Same thing. So IRAs go a little differently. You have until April 15th to do that for this year. So what's some of the other stuff that you can do for end of the year planning? One is just review. So sit down, review what you made. What'd you make? What did you spend? But more importantly, what did you save? So go through, you know, all your accounts, the Roth, the 401ks, the Roth IRAs, the taxable accounts. Try and come up with an actual number and figure out, this is the number that I saved. Divide it by what you made and see what your savings rate was. Did you hit your goal? And remember, in the past episodes, we've talked about you should probably be aiming to save between 15 and 20% of your income for retirement every year. See if you hit that. If you're under, you know, maybe look at making some adjustments going into the new year. If you're over, good, keep going. So that's, you know, did you hit your savings goals? Of those savings, was there a good mix? Review that. Were you able to get some money into Roth IRAs? Did you put some in pre-tax? Were you able to get some money in taxable? Or was it concentrated in one position or you know, one account or the other? I always preach good tax diversification and saving in different types of accounts, you know, when you can. So review that, see what the split was. How about from the investment standpoint? Review your investment accounts. How much did you make? What was your performance like? What did the market do? Compare it to whatever benchmark or index you're going against. Did you hit it? You know, if you underperformed, why? Did you do it because you're taking less risk? Are you okay with that? That's just because you underperform doesn't mean that's a bad thing. If you did it because you're taking less risk, well, risk and return go hand in hand. Just looking at returns by themselves without the risk you're taking, it only tells half the story. If you, you know, that's a good time to review, hey, I underperformed, but I'm not trying to take less risk. I'm actually trying to take more risk. We'll figure out why. What underperformed? Are you too exposed in some areas that the growth wasn't there? Are you, you know, are too much in cash, too much in fixed income? It's a good time to review your investment portfolio and make any adjustments going into the new year. I don't really recommend making anything huge, you know, little ones, 10% here, there, 5%. But you shouldn't be making any kind of market calls where it's like, well, market was up 20% this year. I'm going to get way more conservative because I think next year is not going to be good. That's trying to time the market. That's not a good strategy. That should not be part of your financial. So reviewing your investment accounts, another good time to do it is at the end of the year. Then start looking to next year. Start thinking about, okay, what do I expect to make next year? Am I getting a raise? Am I expecting a significant bonus? Is there any stock options or RSUs that are going to vest? They're going to put me in higher levels. Start to plan for that. Look back on last year. Could you have been a little bit more tax efficient with how you've done some of these things? These are all things to do end of and beginning of the year. It's planning. If you've done no planning, just doing a little bit will be better. Start to make some goals. And that's, I realize that can be a little corny because how many people come out here and say, oh, New Year's resolution. But sit down, try and say, okay, I didn't save enough this year. I didn't invest enough this year. Here's what I want to do. Write down your goals. And we talked about it before. Put that into practice by setting up some automation. So if you want to save 15% of your income and that's a new goal and you weren't able to do it, calculate what that number is going to be. Spread it out over a year and set it up that it's automatic, that you don't have to think about it. It's going to be done. You can't spend it if it's already saved and it's already invested. So it's a good time to kind of sit down, map out some goals. Are you looking to buy a home? Are you looking to maybe actually do some financial planning because you've done none? Are you looking to engage with an advisor? Sit down, write out some goals so you can get started on the new year on the right foot. That's all I have for today. I know it was kind of a short episode. Again, end of the year, lots of stuff going on. Just wanted to kind of touch some of the, end of the year planning points, make sure everyone's hitting them. My next episode, I plan on having a guest on to interview another certified financial planner, a coworker of mine, just to kind of get, bounce some questions out off of him about, his perspective on the business and how he works with clients and what he recommends. I think getting different perceptions and viewpoints will be good for the listeners. So again, if you aren't subscribed and you like my content, please, follow me on YouTube, follow me on Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you listen to podcasts. I would greatly appreciate it. Everyone have a safe and healthy holiday season and a happy new year.